I want to just let you know that those scriptures are assembled in a very valuable resource for you to look into if you don't know about it already. It's called a lectionary, and it comes from people who were firm believers in the Word of God, and they wanted to encourage the church by providing scriptures each day from different parts of the Bible, from the Psalms, from the Gospels, from the prophets, right, and also from the letters of Paul and of Peter, different letters that were the epistles that were written. And all of these are available on different websites that we can go to. And there are scriptures every day that are provided for us. And they also provide scriptures for us that are for special times, like the Epiphany that we just went through and we're still in, right? And also for the time leading up to Christmas, which is Advent, and then the Lenten period of time. But all through the year, these wonderful people have assembled different scriptures. And it's really interesting. Talk about using your God-given talent to investigate and to use your imagination even, you know, what God has given to us and how God speaks to us as we look at these scriptures to see how there is a thread between the scriptures. And so that is what I've done today. I have to admit to you, I was looking at each one of them, and I felt like each one of them in themselves would have been a wonderful scripture to base a sermon on. But I couldn't choose, so I just decided to give you all a sample of each one. And so it kind of helps sometimes to even to have that. You know, it's a variation, you know, in the things that we do. And it just kind of points out to me that there's a lot of fun things to do when you're a Christian and you have so many wonderful things that God has given to us to enjoy. And we can use our gifts in different ways. And we're taking advantage of the gifts of the people who assembled these scriptures for us to look at and to find a common theme in. The other thing is you could possibly read the scriptures and go to the Psalms and Deuteronomy and then to 1 Corinthians and to the Gospel of Mark. And you could find something that God put on your heart that is different than me, right? And that is what God does. He speaks to us in different ways. But what I want to do today is just share with you some words that I felt that God was speaking and putting on my heart and that we can learn together as a community of Christ and Grace Church, right? And so we're going to be looking at these different scriptures today and bringing out a theme. Now, when I was choosing a title for the sermon, I was talking with some of my family members, and I was trying out different sermon titles, and I was using scripture, and I was reciting, you know, some of the titles that came directly from the verses. But then I threw out this one, "Don't Let Your Faith Get Fat." And that seemed to be the one that spoke the most to them. So it may be a little bit unusual, but hopefully it's going to help you to be able to see, you know, the meaning in these scriptures today and also in our times that we're living in. Don't let your faith get fat. Most of the time these days, because of the inactivity and the inability to go to the gym or to go outside as much as we usually do, we say, don't let your stomach get fat, right? And a lot of people are watching their weight these days. But today we want to look and make sure that our faith doesn't get fat. And what does that really mean? Well, I think that God really helps us out to be able to see that faith is not just meant to be ingested, right? It also has an outlet. And God gives us in his own being. And so let's take a look. First of all, I want to just turn to the Psalm 111, 2, 7, 8, and 10, and point out some things that I feel that God was speaking to us here in these scriptures about. Verse 2 says, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." Isn't that interesting? Great are the works of the Lord. These are things that God has actively done, his great works, but they are studied by all who delight in them, right? I don't ever know if I've even thought of this before today, to study the works of God. But that is an active thing. It is something being engaging in these works of God. And it's interesting also that it says those who delight in them, right? So there's this connection to God. There's a connection to God's word that I'm sure that many of you share, right? That we delight in the works of God, right? We We delight in the creation of children. We delight in the creation of the world around us, the mountains, the oceans, the beautiful stars, the things, the trees and the valleys and all of the bodies of water, all these different things that God has done and brought about. But also he has brought about great truths and things of laws and things of that nature. Those are also his works, but we delight in them because they remind us of him, and then we know that they come from him. Verse 7 says, the works of his hand are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. But then verse 8 says, they are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Isn't that powerful? These things are established forever. The works of his hand are described as being faithful and just. Faithfulness and being just are important concepts, and the things that he gives us in his precepts, which are his laws, are trustworthy, things that we can depend upon, and they are established forever. They have no end because God is unending. But it says in the last part of verse 8, they are to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. And so this really speaks to me in saying that we're not just to be able to admire the things that God has done and the works of the Lord, but we see that we, because we are a part of him and he has made us, we are also to practice them, to perform them, right? I jumped ahead to the last one. It says in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And see, do you see these common things in these verses that jumped out to me this week, is that the works of the Lord are not merely to be looked at, but they are studied by those who delight him. The works of his hand are to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. God performs them, right? He brings them into being. He acted upon those ideas that he had to do these works, and then he brought them into being, and those who belong to him should also practice the things that God has done, and we imitate and we practice them in our daily lives as well. And so you see in these scriptures here, the performance and the practice of what God has done is an amazing lesson for us. And so we don't get fat in our faith because we are practicing and we are performing the things that God has given to us. Amen. And so we put it into use in our lives, right? You might want to think, a question for you to think about this week would be, how do we practice the fear of the Lord? How do we practice the fear of the Lord? You can take a look at that. I also want to let you know that Psalm 112 is commonly associated with this Psalm 111. Two overlooked psalms, in my opinion. They're very overlooked in my own life, and I plan to spend more time looking at those. But Psalm 112 is a wonderful follow-up for you to engage in this week to see how those who love God and delight in him practice the fear of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, Psalm 112 shows how it's going to be brought out in the lives of human beings, those who follow God. So take that one and run with that, and you can do that as well. There's one last thing that I want to also talk about here with in terms of praising God. Right? It says his praise endures forever. And praise is an active way that we show a fear of the Lord, that we show our appreciation for the works of the Lord, right? But I believe that praise, right, when we practice it, when we perform it, is also a reflection not only of what we see, but it's also something that we experience. When a person is given, it has the responsibility to bring together praise music, they're drawing not only on their ability to play notes or to sing the notes. They're not drawing upon only their ability to find a good song that fits in with these with worship service or that might be good for us to sing together. They are drawing upon how God has been at work in their lives. Praise that does not have that interactive kind of an active being of God in our lives is simply going to be a carrying out of a tune that someone has written. But I think that it also should encourage us really proactively during this time to think in our church, we need people who are going to be gripped by the word of God and by the Spirit of the Spirit of God, and using their gifts so that they can begin to practice instruments. We need people to do that actively, writing songs, performing them, using that time, like we were talking about with the children, using the time that we are sometimes bored with and inactive in to engage in the ways that God is going to bring that out. It could be different for you than for me. It could be anything, right? It could be any kind of, it could be music, it could be art, it could be science, it could be any kind of thing that God is using you for in your life. But the praise of God comes when we recognize his greatness at work in us and how his salvation, his love for us has become real in that way. And suddenly we don't think about how we're going to be using time anymore. We're thinking, I wish I had more time to do that, because God is going to be engaging us so much in those things. So think about those things. Read over these Psalms. Take a look at Psalm 112 as you go on. The next verse we want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1b. Actually, we read all of verse 1, but the center of this is knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, right? The beginning of this, he's talking to them about concerning food offered to idols. He says, we know that all of us possess knowledge, right? So there's plenty of knowledge to go around. But he speaks to them and says, knowledge puffs up, right? Makes us feel like, you know, we know everything. We're good. We're almost, you know, boastful in the fact that we have so much knowledge. And then he says really something very quite important. He says, but love builds up. So knowledge puffing up has this feeling of being bloated, right? Of being fat and getting fat, because all we're doing is filling ourselves with a lot of knowledge. But God is showing us through his words here that he wants an outlet for those things, and love builds up. It doesn't just come into us. It goes outward into other people to build them up. So a good question for us today would be, how can we build up one another in love? In an active way, not just talking about it, not just having an interesting conversation about how we can build up one another in love, but doing it. Doing it, not talking about it and saying, yeah, let's have a good conversation on how we can do that. Those are also good things to do. But the emphasis today from our Lord is to say, I want to see it. I want to see it lived out in your life. Amen? So that's one of the verses that are given in the lectionary today. Now we're going to go backwards to Deuteronomy 18:15. Deuteronomy is one of the greatest books that was ever written. I mean, period. It's one of the greatest books that was ever written. And when people start to read it, they're thinking, man, is Pastor John crazy? You know, because there's a lot of talk about laws and there's a lot of things that we don't understand from the time that Moses lived in and everything. But you know what really comes through in the book of Deuteronomy? Love. Go and read it. Read Deuteronomy. I mean, in the midst of all of these things, talk about boring, right? You're thinking, oh, this is a boring book to read. I'm going to read, you know, one of the more interesting books of the Bible. But actually, it's one of the most fascinating and thought-provoking and active books in all of the Bible. And God is saying here, and he shows it here, he says, the Lord your God, Moses is speaking, the Lord your God will raise up for you. That's an active verb, right? Raise up for you, the people there, a prophet like me, like Moses, from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. It is to him you shall listen. Now, this was written during the time of Moses, but he's talking about a prophet that is going to be coming, and the people are going to be seeing this prophet. And so there's a promise made, and that promise in itself could simply be knowledge if it weren't for the fact that God acted out that promise and brought it in his son, Jesus Christ, which leads us to the next scripture, Mark 1, 21-26. So we can lead to that, and we read through this great, great scripture. And they went to Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and was teaching. So here's Jesus Christ, the one, the prophet who was promised. And we believe that Peter and Stephen in the book of Acts both quoted the verse that we read from Deuteronomy, referring to that and saying that that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He was that prophet to whom people were going to listen. And here he is in this place in Capernaum, on this Sabbath, he goes into the synagogue and he's teaching them, and they are to listen to his voice, right? And it doesn't say what he's listening, what he's talking about, but we can be pretty sure that it's talking about the things of the kingdom of God, right? The promises of God being fulfilled, that God's salvation is upon them, right? And that they need to change their ways and repent. And that God has come, and the time is fulfilled, and now he has arrived, those kind of things. And they were astonished at his teaching. So these people were listening to what Jesus had to say. He taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. He wasn't merely talking to them as people who were interpreting the scriptures. He was the source of the scriptures. He was the word, the scriptures themselves. And therein we find his authority. We go on to the next verses. Immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. So this man either came in to the synagogue at that time or who was there. And when he heard Jesus beginning to speak, he spoke out and he cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Go on to the next part. Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And so we see that Jesus is teaching the people, and he is giving them these things that are filling their minds with knowledge. He's telling them these things. He's going in there with the word, the prophecy that was fulfilled in himself, right? That was promised in the book of Deuteronomy. He was that word. He was that prophet coming from God himself, and he was teaching them, and they were listening. And so there is a very valuable lesson in being taught and listening to what God has to say to us. However, it doesn't stop there, does it? There comes a momentous time for the word of God to be actively acted out. And this unclean spirit comes out from this man, accusing Jesus of coming to destroy him. And that was exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to conquer the works of the devil, and to conquer it through his power that was ultimately lived out on the cross. Right? But in this moment, he actively acts upon that power that was an authority that was given to him, and he destroys that demon that was causing this man so much unrest and so much trouble in his life. And he with authority drives him out of this poor man that was possessed with him. And so we see that the word of God is active in the life of Jesus, that he doesn't merely come and teach people. There are so many people in the world today, and you need to trust me in this. There are so many people that I've heard of and that I've also heard personally that doubt the existence of God. And they say it's just a bunch of philosophy. It's just like anything else. But this is proof that it's not. Jesus is proof that it's not just talk. It's not just knowledge that pops up, right? It's not just a faith that you have that everybody and everybody's religion can have. It is one that it has authority. It is one that has power behind it. Right, that we spoke of and read about in the Psalms, right? That God is not just a God who does these things and it just remains that way. It's active going out into the world and showing the world who he is. And so the people there were astonished, and they said, "This man is speaking with authority." And then he drove out this demon from the man, and they said, "That's an amazing man we're looking at. He has authority to pull out the demons out of people. He has that kind of a power, that kind of an effect." And that is what God is speaking to us about as his people, that we are to learn from him, that we do not get fat on our faith. We don't simply learn faith for faith itself, but that we are to see that we have a God who acts upon those things. Amen. And so all through these scriptures, we can see the authority of God to bring into being great things. And we look at those things and we worship them and we praise him for it. And that is one act that we do perform. But the other part that we do is to also go and to show people actively who it is that we believe in. And that is really what the gospel is all about, isn't it? We meet a God in all of these scriptures, a God who not only teaches, but who acts. We need therefore not only to be learners, but those who act. We are people who learn in order so that we can act. We follow the example of God. What gets in our way? What gets in our way? Think about that. What is getting in your way today from being actively involved in the work of God, in the works of God, imitating him, right? I want to share a word that spoke to my heart from the Daily Bread books that we receive at church. And if you need one, you can contact the church, contact me, and we'll get you one. But they're also online for those of you who read them. They're very good, very brief devotions for each day that are meaningful stories. And this week, there was one called Wearing Our Courage. Wearing Our Courage. It talked about a man named Andrew who lived in a country that was closed to the gospel. And it says, when I asked how he keeps his faith a secret, he said he doesn't. He wears a button that advertises his church. And whenever he's arrested, he tells the police that they need Jesus too. And Andrew has courage because he knows who's on his side. Just a brief word, right? But that is a very big encouragement for us to do something like this. Now, it's not by accident that, you know, Lee Chan put this little heart on my desk today that someone named Nikki made for me a while back. And I think some of you also were fortunate enough to have one, but it has a cross on it. And so this is also something that speaks. There was a time, you know, just like the button that this guy was wearing, you know, he didn't want to fade into the background because people didn't want him to be a Christian. He actually took a step forward and put the button on so that they would. And when they arrested him, and it sounds like he was arrested more than one time, he told them that they needed Jesus too. So wherever he was imitating Paul, right? That's what Paul did. When he went to prison, he didn't shut up. He was saying hymns and he spoke to guards about the Lord Jesus and saved them there. Or his being in prison served as an example to other Christians to say, hey, you know, he's in prison, but he didn't shut up about it. You know, you can't stop him. He's too convinced of this God that he loves and believes in, right? And so you can get something like this and you can get a button and I can wear this too. One time, you know, the collars that priests wear with the little white thing in the middle, there's black shirts and I used to kind of, you know, feel like I don't want to wear those. I was telling a sister in church about this. You know, I kind of felt like I want to be able to like show that I'm like other people. I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm a pastor, but I also want to be like other people. Well, God was teaching me a lesson one day. I was out by my car and I forgot that I had put this little collar on. I think we had a baptism and I wore it for that day. And, you know, usually when I walk around on the street, nobody even pays any attention to me at all. You know, it's just like I just walk down the street. But when I had that collar on, these people started waving to me. And I was thinking, are you waving to me? You know, who are you waving to? And then it occurred to me, you know, somehow they had an association with a priest or somebody, you know, wearing a collar like that. And they started to wave. So, you know, the sister that I shared that story with was saying, well, maybe you ought to wear that more often. And, you know, maybe she's right. You know, we want to stand out. We don't want to fade in. You know, I think that there's also some good by thinking, you know, we do want to, you know, show people that we are, you know, like them in that regard. But there's also a time when we need to stand out. And we need to show people that we're not just blending in, but we do have something to say, right? Otherwise, we're going to be growing fat on our faith. We'll be getting fat because we're not letting it be known, right, in the society that we live in. And so we want to do those kind of things. I was reading a wonderful article written by someone in the internet on talking about putting your faith in action. And she wrote down a few words to say how to put your faith in action. Well, the first thing that she said is be a doer. I think that's a good kind of a word that we can remember. Be a doer, right? If you don't want to get fat on faith, then be a doer. Show it, right? She says this, at the beginning of each school year, my family chooses a theme. And this year we picked Do to know. Do to know. We wanted to test the idea described in John 7:17 that if we want to know if something is true, we have to try it out. When it comes to serving others, we don't just want to say we know it's a good thing. We want to find out for ourselves that it really makes a difference. Of course, we are a very typical family and fall short a lot of the time, but we're still trying to do some good for those around us whenever we can. And so I love that. Be a doer, right? Be a doer. This theme of the family was do to know, right? And I think there's a lot of wisdom to that, right? It's based on that scripture in John 7:17. You can read that scripture sometime, right? It's Jesus talking, right? But there's this connection with God to know the Father and to know these things. The more that we do these kind of things, really, and set that before us, we are going to know the faithfulness that God shows to us. And that's what the psalm was saying, right? Practicing it. Practicing these things, performing it, doing those things in that way. That's what God does. He doesn't hide his power and his greatness. Why would he want to do that? Right? He wants himself to be known. He wants himself to be known. Why? Because he's our Savior. Right? He desires for us to be his witnesses and to be able to go out there as his light so that we can not hide our light under a bushel, but let it be seen, right? So there's different ways that we can do that, but let's not talk about it all the time. Let's do it, right? So you can take some of those ideas as well. I want to give you a quote by Harry Chapin. I was reading an article. Actually, I was watching a documentary about Harry Chapin. Some of you that are more my age would know Harry Chapin as one of the great performers. He was a songwriter, but he was also a great man, and he did a lot of good for the world while he was alive. He died at a very young age. But Harry Chapin, I think you may know him as the writer of the song that goes, "The Cat in the Cradle," about this father who learned by, you know, the hard way that his son was not he wasn't paying enough attention to his son. And his son grew up that way, feeling like, well, that's the way you're supposed to be. And so when the son became a father, he didn't spend enough time with his son, too. And he also didn't spend time with his father. It's a great song. And he wrote many, many songs that were very thought provoking. So I just want to show you a quote from him. We can show the slide. It says, "Our lives are to be used and thus to be lived as fully as possible. And truly, it seems that we are never so alive as when we concern ourselves with other people." Friends, you can do that no matter where you are in life, right? Even if you're alone and you're not in a position to go out and to help people in that way, you can pray for them, right? We possess a tremendous weapon in prayer to help people and to fight against all of the hopelessness and the feelings of sadness and loneliness and things that people are going through. Prayer is a tremendous weapon that all of us can do. But even in these times, I want to encourage you with all the best health concern in this as possible. Don't do anything that is going to harm yourself. Wash your hands, wear a mask, do those things. But, you know, if you go out, keep your eyes open for ways that you can make God known to people. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know what we know, right? And so we want to be actively doing that. We don't want our faith to get fat. We have to pray to God, and he can help us to be able to explore those ways that we can do things, right? There's a wealth of things that we can do. Harry Chapin also said, "When in doubt, do something." And a lot of times we get caught up in our doubt, and we get caught up in our, you know, like, sluggishness, like the one in comparison to the ant that is always doing something. We get to be like a slug, you know, those small creatures that move very, very slowly at a very, very slow pace, because we're so caught up in fear or of anxiety or worries, or I don't know how to do this, or, you know, will I do it well? And we catch ourselves in all kinds of nets, right, that are going to keep us from doing something actively. But you know, Harry Chapin's words are also good ones to keep in mind. When in doubt, do something, right? Find something you can do for someone else. Engage with other people. And there's a wealth of different ways that we can do that. And you don't need me to be able to tell you these things, right? But there are many, many things that you can do. And this, the writer of the article that said, be a doer, gave a list just like this. Love and serve your family. All good we do starts at home. Meet your neighbors. Volunteer somehow at your child's school. When I read that one, I was thinking, okay, you're not going to maybe be volunteering at a child's school. I don't know. Maybe you could through the internet. But at least, you know, we've been talking about the need in Ridgefield Park for prayer for the superintendents and the principals and the teachers, because there's a mixture of different attitude of opinions on whether the children should go back to school or stay at home. So there's all kinds of things that are going on like that. But that kind of a situation is not one that we should shy away with and get fat on our faith with. It is one that we need to do something actively to get involved. We could send a letter, a card to the superintendent and say, I feel you. I understand it must be so hard to do this, but you know what? I'm praying for you. You could write to teachers. You could write to an enemy, you know, somebody that you disagree with, and say, we may feel differently on this subject, but let's stay together because God is our guide. And I believe that he's going to help us through this. You know, so those are things that just came into my mind just from one of these ideas of this person. But when we generate these type of things, then we are really not going to get fat in our faith. We're going to be working and acting upon it, right? Make a phone call, write a note. Many of us are doing those things. If you're doing these things, you don't need to listen to this part. But there are things for others perhaps to learn that they could do. Share your faith with someone who's in need. Keep your eyes open and act on impressions, right? When you see something, you know, you can meet somebody. God does that. He puts things into our minds that we may not be aware of, right? And so I think you get the picture from these scriptures today that what God is talking to us about in fear of getting fat on our faith, we want to act. Because God is a God who acts. He spoke things into being, right? He spoke things into being. You can also speak. Use your gift for speaking. If you don't have that, you can use your gift for making something. Just like Nikki used her gift for making this heart. And it speaks. It has an intention behind it. She was giving it to me, and I know that there was an intention in her heart to encourage me, and it's grown into something that was, you know, more than I could ever imagine, right? And so that kind of a button and that kind of a way of showing people that we're there, that we're not just going to kind of blend in with everything else, will be helping us not to get fat in our faith. Amen? So let's practice it. Let's practice our faith. Let's get out there and explore the different ways that we are going to do things. And you know what? We're never going to be able to say to each other, you know what? I'm bored. Because there's so much work to be done and so many wonderful, exciting things that God is just waiting for us to do for him. And he's going to show us the way. Amen?